Good afternoon, everyone, on this beautiful Sabbath day. Welcome to our guests that have traveled over from places far and wide. Good to see you all here today. I hear tomorrow it's supposed to be like almost 80 above. So looking forward to a little summer tomorrow. It's going to go back down again. You know, my wife and I recently had a return from a trip out to see my daughter Jessica in Massachusetts. She lives in Hudson. She had just given birth to a baby boy back on April 10th, Jace Robert. So we're kind of excited about that. You know, and as I held this little 9-pound little boy, memories came back of when I held my daughter 34 years ago. Long time ago. Anyway, as a young parent then, I didn't fully understand the what or the how of being a parent. You know, in that brief time that we have here this afternoon, I just want to delve into what parents want for their children and how God, as our parent, as our Father, wants what is best for us. You know, being a parent and now being a grandparent is a lifelong learning experience. As a new parent, we really didn't understand or know what we were doing. You know, the other day I did a quick search on the internet. I did search for parenting and whatever. Thousands and thousands of books came up that are in publication today. A whole much more, far greater amount than what was written by Dr. Spock way back in 1946 about how to have baby and child care. Now there's millions of books available. There's a lot of differing views on how to rear a child, and one constant throughout this time is the Holy Word of God, the Bible. You know, when starting out as a new parent, we must do everything for them. They are helpless and needy, requiring that we attend to them in everything, every need, every want that they have. You know, may have heard the story of a young mother who had gone into a grocery store and she was pushing a cart with her young child in the cart and the child was screaming as they went by the candy aisle and went by the cracker aisle and went by the cereal aisle, and she wanted this and she wanted that, and I want this, I want that. You probably heard this little story, and every so often the parent would say in a very calm demeanor, "Hang in there, Nancy, we'll be leaving soon." And as she was leaving the store, the manager complimented her on how well she was able to maintain her composure and that how well she was handling her daughter, Nancy. Mother said, "I'm Nancy." So, you know, yes, we don't want to necessarily give in to all our children's wants. You know, we want to give them everything. And as they grow, we soon realize that giving them everything is not a good idea. It's not a good idea at all. In much the same way, God doesn't always give us what we want. You know, we pray to him and say, "God, I want this and I want that and I want this and I want that." And not always does he give us our wants. And James points out, well, just before I go there, Christ had said in John 14:14 that if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So, I mean, if we ask, "God, I would like a Corvette." No. It's a want, right? But James reiterated back in chapter 3 or 4, in verse 3 of James, he said, "You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures." You know, in much the same way, a parent knows what is best for their children as they're growing. So often in our society today, we see that parents are I think, feeling maybe a little guilty of the lack of attention they've given their children, so they will bestow upon them all their wants. But that's a recipe for disaster. You know, before the children of Israel went into the promised land, Moses reiterated to them the importance of God's commandments in the fifth chapter of Deuteronomy. And then in chapter 6, we read in verse 4, Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." You know, Christ had stated that this was the great commandment of the law, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your strength. So often I think we may forget that. Other things may kind of creep in front of that. And then in verse 6 he said, "And these words which I command you today," these words of loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind, "and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart." Verse 7, "You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk to them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." It sounds to me like parenting is a 24/7 kind of job. You know, we have to be vigilant to keep them from harm's way, but we don't want to be helicopter parents either. We want what's best for them. And as parents, we want our children to grow up to be God-fearing. That's what one of the main things that parents want. They want their children to be God-fearing. Not afraid of God, but afraid of disobeying God's commandments. You know, we want them to make right choices in their lives. And as our children grow, we give them more responsibility that is appropriate for their age. We let them make choices as they are able to make them. Sometimes having them make choices at a too young of age will cause them undue anxiety. Sometimes they just need to be told, this is what we're going to do. You know, we're reminded in Proverbs 22, verse 6, that we are to train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. You know, we are to discipline them in a loving manner. In a loving manner. It takes a lot of energy to teach, train, guide, and direct. You know, the world in which we live has a profound impact on our children today. They go to school, they're influenced by their teachers, they're influenced by their fellow students, they're influenced by the books that they read, the things that they hear, not only at school, but on TV at home and on the radio. You know, parenting is not an easy task. And as parents, we often make mistakes. As we are rearing our children, you know, we regret those mistakes. And we do pray that our children will forgive us of them. You know, Paul told us in Ephesians 4, verse 32, "And to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." You know, when we are grandparents, what we want most is our children and our grandchildren to love each other. And that is what God wants from us, is that we have love for one another. True, genuine, brotherly love, which sometimes requires tough love, delivered in a concerned and benevolent manner. And as we mature on our spiritual journey, we develop an agape, a godly love, one for another. It is interesting to note that in the listing of the fruit of God's Spirit, in Galatians, I think it's 5, 22, love is the first item on the list. And often the first item on a list is the most important. Recall Christ's words when he spoke to his disciples during the final Passover, which he shared with them in John 13, verse 34 to 35. He stated, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, and you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And that's what we want for our children, that we have one, that we have love for one another. That's a pretty tall order. You know, we're to love each other as Christ loved us. Christ loved us so much that he is willing to die for us. You know, are we willing to die for one another? Sometimes. Better yet, are we willing to be a living sacrifice? You know, men have often stated that they are willing to die to protect their family, but unwilling to do some simple tasks around the house. It's kind of contradictory. Humorous as that may be, why is it that people, couples, parents, children, we so often get embellished in squabbles, arguments that are really of no consequence, really don't matter much in the long run of things? You know, often these squabbles are the result of unwilling to submit to one another. And as parents of older children, sometimes we have to submit to our children. Sometimes, in a sense, we have to submit to their desire, their will, at the time that they are expressing it. You know, when they're in their 20s and 30s and their 40s and 50s and so on. You know, if we're unwilling to submit to one another, it's really the result of pride. And who has more power over someone else, over one another? You know, we have heard the term many years ago, a term called Christ-centered servant leadership. Christ stated in Matthew 23, verse 11 to 12, he said, "But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant." You know, when Christ stated that, he was the greatest among them at that final Passover. "He who is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoever exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted." You know, are our petty arguments really something to engage in, with the risk of ruining our relationships with our children or grandchildren? Christ reiterated this command in John 15, verses 12 to 13. He said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." You know, if we're willing to lay down our life for each other, it should be a small matter to allow someone else to have their way in a dispute. You know, remember Christ's words in Matthew 5, verse 40. He said, "If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too." We should be willing to give in to others in the appropriate time. You know, yes, disputes will arise in our relationships. It seems in the church at Corinth that there was a lot of strife and contention. If we read back in 1 Corinthians 1 and verses 10 to 13, Paul had said, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions, no schisms, or dissensions, disagreements that lead to discord, among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions, heated disagreements. It seems that the Corinthians were having a lot of arguments, contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? In Philippians 2 in verses 1 through 5, Paul stated, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. And as we work together in our families, ridding our families of contention, competition, and strife, we can bring about harmony. We can bring about love and joy. And that's what most, if not all, parents want.